Hi everyone, we're here with John and Bill. Both are developers at a company called Quicksilf, which many of you guys might know or might have actually used their product. So let's just have a chat with them and see how the company got started. So Bill, can you, or John, can you tell me more about the beginnings of the company, how everything got started, why, you know, what made you start the company?
Yeah, I guess, you know, back in the mid-90s, we were selling components for Internet Explorer back when ActiveX controls took off. I think it was 96, came home from the PDC and you know, all set to develop components for Internet Explorer. And I think this was around the same time that ASP was becoming popular, and we started to build our own e-commerce site using ASP, but there weren't any real email components out there to be able to do things like sending order receipts and acknowledgements and things like that. So we built our own SMTP components really just to facilitate our own e-commerce system. And not too long after that, it was really Bill's suggestion that we start selling those email components along with the other components that we were selling, which were like, we had a product called Site Menu, which would allow you to do menuing inside a browser, and Site Mapper, which was a tree view type of control. And back in this time, that was kind of new. These things were components that were part of the Windows user interface, right, that people were familiar with, but you didn't see them in browsers at that time. So, but the email components that we developed really took off to a big degree. So we started with EasyMail, which was our SMTP component.
Right.
And from there, we built, what, IMAP? And
IMAP, POP3, the parsing component, and bundled them together.
What's the name of the product suite?
The product brand is called EasyMail. EasyMail objects are the COM version of these components. So there's an SMTP component, a POP3, IMAP, and a parsing component. So they enable you to create internet email messages, to send them, to download them using POP or IMAP, and to be able to parse them and display them and use them within your own homegrown applications.
And the COM version of the product, what was the development there? Was it ABC, or so was it C++?
It was done in C++ back in a 6.0 version.
Wow. Yeah. I think we used some of, was it ATL?
Yeah, Active Template Library.
Well, back in the day.
Right. And then along came .NET. So we completely rewrote things. And this was probably 5 or 6 years later, after we had released EasyMail Objects, the COM version. And so we had a lot more of experience under our belt with handling email and the different things that people wanted to do, developers wanted to do in their application. So with the object-oriented architecture of .NET, it was just amazing what we were able to do with these components. We were able to make components that were really easy to use for people who had to do simple things, but for the people who had complex tasks, there was a lot of power kind of buried under the hood that you could access through the object model. So, and plus it was just, I mean, we were just really happy with the way .NET, the runtime performed. Did a lot for us, right?
Right, yeah, made it really easy to get it up and going quick.
So how did you guys, that brings a very interesting question. So you went from being C++ developer, building under the COM environment, to now developing the same product for .NET. How was that transition? Like, what did you do to prepare to learn the .NET environment, to learn the framework? I'm assuming it was built in C#, since you guys were coming from a C++ background?
Right. Yeah, we C# was like a natural, progression, so made things easy. I think it was the Microsoft conferences that we went to that we picked up most of the stuff, reading books and stuff, and then we knew all the limitations and all the problems that we had in the beginning when we wrote in C++. So it was a lot easier to start from the beginning in C# and get everything right the first time.
Yeah, from the email aspect of it and dealing with the email protocols and what people wanted to do, we had a lot better idea of how to handle that. And the other thing that some people don't realize is that even though there's RFCs out there that dictate how email protocols should operate. Not everybody always upholds that. So these components need to be flexible enough to be able to deal with servers that may not exactly properly implement the RFCs 100%, right?
Right.
So through the course of time, we were able to tweak the products to get them to work according to the RFC, and also to be able to get them to work with products that were slightly variant of that, which was important.
So how many products you guys sell today when it comes to the email QuickSolve products?
Well, we have EasyMail Objects, which we still sell a lot of, EasyMail.net Edition, which is the .NET version of those components. We also have what we call EasyMail Advanced API, which is a straight C++ library that you can use for email development. So if you're developing applications or supporting applications that are written in C++, it's a lot more natural to be able to use those libraries. But as of recently, things like we have components that will help you do verification of email addresses, especially at the point of collection. So when you're collecting an email address on a web form, you're actually able to verify that the address is valid. We have Bounce Buster, which is a component that enables you to analyze messages that bounce back. We'll get those messages that bounce back with the invalid addresses and whatnot. And this component can take those and process them programmatically and feed them through an event back to your own code so that you can use that to clean your address list in real time.
Cool. Just talking about the architecture without getting into a lot of details, what are you guys using? Are you guys using any type of patterns, any type of special techniques, like anything cool in the way that you, not cool, but anything very geeky in the way that you guys are developing your system? So obviously, we don't want to know your intellectual property or anything like that, but just... like anything that you developed that was a wow, you know, that's a pretty tough problem to solve, and you know, this is kind of cool too.
Well, I think one of the highlights of our products is like the speed and performance, like just testing over and over and getting everything down so that, you know, there's no performance bottlenecks at all. Like you can find that our components pretty much outperform most anything out there, and. So we go through a lot of like testing, performance testing with software to get that like that.
Yeah, we really kind of go. We're the type of people that really prefer to get down to the really low level of things, to the nuts and bolts, and tweak things at that level as opposed to at the higher level, because we really, I guess, are control freaks to some degree, but with that, it gives us the ability to really make the software do exactly what we want it to do. And if something goes wrong, we have the ability to go in and fix it because we're in control of the entire process. The other product that I did, product line really that I didn't even mention was SMTP Express, which, so as the internet grew and became more popular and use of internet email, these companies that were using our components to build internet email applications started experiencing some throughput problems with the. They were trying to pump this, whether it was marketing or transactional emails, such as order receipts and things like that, were creating bottlenecks with their existing infrastructure. They may have been trying to push it through a corporate exchange server, which was already fairly busy with the corporate communications. And so we built this product line called SMTP Express and later SMTP Express Pro, which is a dedicated SMTP server designed to help that application generated email get out as quickly as possible to avoid those bottlenecks. So this would be something that would run alongside your corporate mail server and be used specifically for getting that mail out. And that's really where a lot of ingenuity started to come into play, because delivering that bulk email is a lot more tricky than delivering corporate email, you know, an email message I might send to Bill through Outlook, primarily because of spam. And as spam grew, that also created lots more problems for legitimate companies to be able to deliver their mail. So, you know, we got more and more involved on the end of delivery and being able to develop technologies and ways to help legitimate companies continue to be able to reach their customers or their prospects despite the barriers that the ISPs have to put up to keep the bad guys out.
Very interesting. So how's your development process as far as, I mean, you guys are agile, or you know, take me from when you think of a new product idea, take me from that point of in time to the point that it's actually on the shelves ready to be purchased by your customers.
Well, I think that really depends a lot on whether you're talking about Socket Labs or QuickSoft.
For QuickSoft, we'll get into Socket Labs.
We'll just do this straight.
Yeah.
QuickSoft. Do you want to handle that one? It's more built.
I'd say we're closer to the agile, where we'll build a prototype pretty much first. Of course, we'll do the planning first to make sure all the features are going to be there. Since a lot of them are components, the interface is important, the ease of use for them to access our methods and properties. So, I mean, that's important. So that's got to get planned out. Like, that's usually our top priority at QuickSoft, is just easy to use and understand.
API, when you say interface or something.
Right, our API.
Yeah, that's a really good point. We spend a lot of time nitpicking over things like property names and method names because we want it to make sense so it's intuitive, right? So that when somebody goes to use the product, it's sort of natural to them, and they don't we want to diminish the learning curve.
Right. So that begins the process, and then we move on to, usually getting a prototype. And like I said, again, performance is usually one of the top priorities. So we may... The actual inside code, we may have built something, it works, and we might have to redo it several times just to get it to perform, to our standard.
Are you guys doing unit testing at all, or TDD, or any type of test-driven development?
I haven't done any. I don't know if Phil has.
So when you said testing, all your testing is basically performance-based and feature, user acceptance testing.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I've read a lot of our own testing tools to do it. I play with unit test a little, but like a lot of the stuff that we do with QuickSoft, it's about messages and messages. The message format can be really off the wall when they're coming in. Like John said before about. They don't always abide by the standards. So just getting like a lot of junk data in there and having mounds and mounds of messages saved up from, the years of email development, and getting that data pushed through usually helps a lot too. So there's a lot of custom tools that I do write for testing ourselves.
And this is basically a two-man developer shop, if you will. I mean, you guys are the developers working on this day in and day out, which is extremely interesting for a product that is such a feature-rich as EasyMail. For it to be developed by two people, it has a lot, it says a lot about the company. So anything, I always try to ask developers this question, anything right now that you guys are seeing being introduced into the industry, either be it a technology, a new language, a tool that you guys are really excited about, as component vendors or even as a startup, as a company, anything that is just really interesting for you guys right now?
I mean, it's always interesting to keep up with the latest developments at Microsoft and the new tools that are coming out. We try as best as we can to keep up with that because we have to continue to do our jobs at the same time, learning new things, because there's always opportunities there to make our software better by taking advantage of some of the things that are going on at Microsoft and some of those new technologies.
Right, like the .NET framework 4.0. Well, actually, with every update to the framework, there's always new methods and classes that you're like, I wish I had that a couple months ago, and then it makes future development so much easier.
And one of the things that I am currently getting into is a feature of the framework that is released now as a technical preview, but I believe it's going to be officially released for 4.0. It's called the Managed Accessibility Framework. Have you guys heard of that, MAF?
No.
Okay. But we'll cut that part out. Maybe, maybe not. But it's a very, very interesting feature. I'll tell you guys about it when we end the call. But this has been great, guys. I hope to hear more from you and more products, and hope that your company keeps seeing the level of success that you guys have in the last 10 years.
Thank you.